shall you all turn to Luke chapter 19? And today, we're going to read from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. I shall read it. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I will give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So today my speech is going to anchor around this particular statement, which is a sinner meets seeking Savior, right? And this is a wonderful story that we have learned right from a Sunday school. If you are a church-going kid, or you know, if you are a churchgoer, you would certainly hear this story. And we all know that Zacchaeus is a wee little man, and how wee little man he was. He so not only by his stature, even in his attitude. Okay? And that's why many people, even I don't see many people named after Zacchaeus, because of, no? You would see Samson, sometimes you would see Solomon, David, Isaac, and all that. But I never seen anyone, having a name as Zacchaeus. But if you know the meaning of Zacchaeus, I think you will have a good choice of that. Yeah, Zacchaeus means, you know anyone? Pure. Yeah, pure. Yeah. So his parents probably intended to have no such a child, but we know his story, how it went in the other direction. Okay? But more than that, I think, more than we talk about this passage as a story of Zacchaeus, I would say this is a story of our Savior. Okay? When you read very carefully in this passage that we read, and the last verse that we read, okay, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." That's the anchor of the whole story. And we see how he came to seek and save us. And that's what we're going to see today. So this story is actually, now we all know that it happened in a place called Jericho. And Jericho is a very rich, beautiful city which lie on the west side of the Jordan River. And it's about very close to the Jordan River, about 5 to 6 miles away from the river. And because of the valley, and actually this city is well below the sea level, about 300 to 400 meters below sea level. And therefore, it had its own spring, and the land is so flourishing with all kinds of goodies. And therefore, there was much rich in this country, and there were a lot of trade going in all directions. And you would see a lot of highways from north, south, east, and west. And this city, we know in the Bible, as recorded several, right from the Exodus or from Joshua, where Joshua invaded this place, captured. We know wonderfully Lord moved into this city and gave it as a possession to the Israel. Okay? So, this Jericho, this particular instant, where you read here, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This is the last trip that Jesus is making before his death. And he traveled all the way from Bethsaida to the eastern side of the Jordan, and passing the Jordan, going to Jericho. And before Passover, and he stops at this place and meeting Zacchaeus. And this is the story that we see. Well, as I told you, the Luke chapter 19 verse 10, where we read, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." We all know we are no good. Okay? Word of God says, all have come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know there is none who would seek God. And therefore, God has to come down and to seek us and save us. And so, he started this long back, right in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and hid in the bush. What happened? God called them, "Where are you?" And he started to seek. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 16, he said, "I will search for the lost and bring back the stray. I will bind them up and the injured and strengthen the weak." And what a promise we have, that God will search the lost. And Mark 2:17, Jesus said unto them, "It is not the healthy who needs doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinner." And we all know that this particular verse, Luke chapter 19 verse 10, is a most valuable verse, glorious verse. And this particular verse, we see that the truth is revealed in this passage. And this is the greatest truth of all, that God came to seek the one that was lost. Jesus did not come to just to give us a noble ethics, or to heal the sick, or to raise the dead, but he came to save that which was lost. And this is an intimate story for us, because we know that our lostness, and we know from the worship time that we realize that he is our high priest, and he is the one. No, it was a Prince of Peace was born even at his birth time. That the purpose of Jesus coming was told that his name shall be called Jesus, because he would save his people from sin. And so you would see that that's an important key verse for us today. So Matthew 1:21 says, "A son of man will be born to her." The angel appeared to Mary and saying this verse, "You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from the punishment of their sins." And this is the great hope that we have today, and that's where our hope is. Okay. And the 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinner from the sin." And I am the chief sinner, the Paul says it. And he was the one who went into in Jerusalem and entering into the church, killing the people, putting them in the prison. But when Jesus met him, he realized, oh, Jesus is why he came. And therefore he says, "Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me. I am the chief of all the sinners." Now we know, if we go few chapters back in Luke chapter 15, we see, we have already now did this study. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story of the lost sheep. Luke chapter 15 verse 4. "What a man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he found it, and he lays it on his shoulder rejoicingly." And that's our Savior. And again, in the second story, in the same chapter, the lost coin. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9. "Oh, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light up a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friend and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found a piece which I lost." So this is, and then you read in verse 24, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and now they began to be merry." Okay, here we see how the father seeks. So when he saw, he was probably he was looking at the lost son every day. All right, and I don't know how long he slept in a day or so, but the day came when he realized that when he is far off, and he could see, maybe he is like my son. And he looked closer, and he realized, this is my son. And he did not stand there, wait, let him come. He took all my money, he wasted my money, and now he wants to come to my house. Did he say like that? No. The word of God says, he ran. Okay, prodigal son was walking, but he ran. What a compassionate father we have. Today is like that. We always run away. We always go astray. We walk in our own ways. But God is seeking after us. Wherever we are, you may think you are hiding. But I never told, John, I was, Anil, this is my topic. But when before you started singing, you took a verse from the book and said, "He who seeks diligently," I was so thrilled. I said, okay, God is moving. It's not me. And so today is the status. God is looking after the people who diligently seek Him. One day that prodigal son, he realized that I am nothing. No, I am dying here. I am eating the food of the pig. I lost everything. Then he realized, in my father's house, even the servant are well treated. And let me go to my father. At least he would accept me as one of his servant. But what happened? God never intended to keep him as a servant, but he said, he had a great joy that my son has come. And this is the state for us. God, we know the word of God says, we are predestinated, we are chosen before the foundation of the world. We are his children. We are lost, but God is seeking. And today, God is telling that, I am your Savior. So this is what you could read from this passage, that God is after us. We are all like sheep gone astray. We are all like sheep gone astray. And then, so in Ephesians 4:17-19, let me leave that. Here it's more clearly it say Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futile of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God, and because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." So before we were the children of God, this is where our condition, like Gentiles. We were walking in futile mind. Our minds were not right. All our minds were always thinking on vain things. And our understanding were darkened. And we are alienated from the life of God. And that's where, like a sheep that gone astray. But Word of God says that the joy of the Lord and the joy of the heaven is in the recovery of the lost sinner. No, he said, over one sinner. If one sinner repentant, there is a great joy in heaven. That's what you read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. And there's a great joy in heaven over one sinner that repent. And so we see Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. And we'll come back to the story of Zacchaeus now. Let us read verse 2. Luke chapter 19, verse 2. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief collector, and he was rich. And we are told that Zacchaeus was a chief collector. So, during the Roman time, during not Jesus' time, when Romans were there, so they franchise now this tax collecting business. So, whoever is interested, so they would get the deal from the Roman Empire. And so, what happened? You have to pay in front, and then what happened? The tax collector, and the chief collector will have several tax collector under him. So he is top of the file. And once they have this deal, what happened? They go to the people, as we read, they are publicans. They go to the people and collect taxes as left and right as they want. And they would tax for each and every wheel of a cart, each and every animal that pulled the cart, and everything. Okay, being as a tax collector, is it wrong? Is it wrong to be a tax collector? No. Okay, but if you collect, unethically or in accusation, then what happened? That is wrong. So that's what, because we know very well, Jesus paid the tax. Yes? So tax collecting is not sinful. But when you collect the tax beyond what is stipulated and on your own because of your greediness, then what happened? That is what is sinful. And we know, when you read this story, we know I've seen some pictures of the Roman people where they try to persecute people if they don't pay, or if they don't pay what they require, and toss the people. Okay? And so, next thing is, the verse 3, we read that he sought to see who Jesus was. So Bible also not only talks about God seeking man, but also Bible talks about man seeking God. If we read Proverbs 8:17, we read that those who diligently seek me will find me. Yeah? And also in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me, and when you search me with all your heart. Then in other words, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yeah. Amos 5:4, seek me that you may live. Yeah. So the Bible does mention that man also seek God. But when you put these two together, and it's very clearly says in John chapter 1, and sorry, 1 John 4:9, that we love him because he first loved us. It's not that we seek him, but he sought us already. He's seeking. Yeah, always. Even before, Zacchaeus thought in his mind, hey, let me see Jesus. Yeah, I want to see him. Many people talk about him, that he is a great healer, and he heals the sick, he raises dead. Let me see him. People say that he is a noble teacher. I want to see him. Yeah. And so he ran. And when he went there, what happened? The crowd was big. And since we all know that he is of small stature, he went onto the sycamore tree. Yeah. But this word clearly tells us that we love him because he first loved us. He sought us. So, the fourth verse, it says, so he ran ahead and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him where he was going to pass that way. For he was going to pass that way. Alright? So, why? Because he was of short stature and there was a big crowd. So, he had these two limitations and therefore he ran and climbed on a sycamore tree. And the sycamore tree, we know, this normally it grows in a riparian vegetation, where not ravine adjacent to the river, and riparian. And the Jordan, the Jericho is very close to the Jordan River. And this also tells you about the fertility of the land. Okay? And so, the next thing is, what happened? I feel, not only because of being the short stature, so he climbed the tree, probably I think, when you're a short person and you see a crowd, what will happen? I have seen especially the children. They find their way and go and try to stand in the front. He could have done that. But he didn't do. He instead went and climbed on the tree. Probably, you know, he had the guilty feeling. Yeah? Another thing is, he was despised by all the people, the crowd. Yeah? Because when he gets that, hey, look at that man. He is the one, he got more money from me. He asked me to pay more tax. Yeah, he doesn't want to get all those accusations. Yeah, so probably he's scared. And so he wanted to be in a safer place and hide among the leaves of the sycamore and see Jesus. Thinking, probably, he may even have thought, okay, if Jesus me, what happens? He may find me, he may tell me, hey, you are a sinner. If he says, what will happen? Yeah, so probably he's hiding. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking. This is my imagination. All right. Okay. And don't stone me for that. Okay. God has given a mind of imagination so that God may reveal you something. Okay. So now, look at that. So he thought he may not find me, and so he is there. But Jesus, instead of what happened, he went straight to the tree, looked up, and said, "Make haste." First he said, Zacchaeus, you were shocked. Yeah, if I was there, I would have dropped from the tree. Yeah, yeah. But he was, I don't know, he might have been thrilled, I don't know. But he said, come down now. No, today I want to stay at your house. Wow, that's wonderful. No, he was so happy. Many people thought, I don't know whether he would have been enemy to the whole city, yeah? But here is a noble teacher who is coming there, right there, and calling me, come down. Now, today I want to stay at your house. Probably, he was so happy, yeah? And we see that in verse 6. And he came, and he make haste and came down and received him joyfully. And in 2 Corinthians 2, then he said, he did not wait. Lord, I know you are a good person. Now let me stay here and see what you are doing. Maybe I'll come later. No, he didn't do. He joyfully, he hastily came down, joyfully accepted him. And the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My dear brothers and sisters, you are here listening to this. You might have heard this story several times, but today Lord may speak to you. Yeah? And today is the day of salvation. And he said, do not procrastinate, the call that is given to you. And so, here in Hebrews 3:15, it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Like in the Pharaoh's time, yeah? And so, God is always seeking after you. And it is we, you and me, who try to go away, go astray. Yeah? Though you may have accepted God as your Savior, personal Savior, but you may have drifted away, you may have been backsliding, but today is the day of salvation. And God is seeking you. And He says, my son, my daughter, come down, I want to stay at your house. Yeah? So what a wonderful Savior we have. And Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come to him and I will dine with him. And this is the verse through which I was saved, actually. I was raised in a Christian home. I go to the church regularly. We go to a church morning 9 o'clock, and we come back to our home evening 9 o'clock. We stay there whole day and night, yeah. And because I was raised in a Christian, we have to go. Okay, we have to stay there. There's no other way. My father won't let us go anywhere. So evening in one gospel meeting, I used to go to that gospel meeting every day, every Sunday. All right. That particular day, I was playing like any other kid, yeah. That particular day, the preacher was preaching on the rich man and the Lazarus. And after this verse, now behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if any man hears my voice, I will come to him. I'll dine with him. You'll eat with me. And after that, the preacher said, "If you die today, are you ready to meet your God?" That particular verse scared me, because I was not ready. I was not ready because I know my sinful. I've heard that many times, that verse. That day, it was like personally to me, and I changed on that day. I gave my life to Christ. And this happened in 1975, September 7th. I really remember those dates. And I really enjoyed, because that was a joyful day for me. I remembered my whole body was lightened. I never felt it's like lifting my body up from the floor. Yeah, it was so light. I realized that my burden all gone. God saved me. And nobody has to tell me that, "Hey man, you have to say no." When I confessed, Lord gave me that the freedom, the liberty. Okay, so now what happened when he came? Do you see that by God's grace, this man was saved and he was happy? No. What happened? Everybody looked at him. They grumbled. They complained. He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And this is the attitude the others will have. When you are saved, this is the attitude. No, you would see with your neighbors or with your co-workers. Okay, when you are saved today, when you go to your office, what will happen? They will always come, "He has come. Do you think he is a good man now?" No. They will bring back all your old stuff. Yeah. And say, he is no good. Okay, but God, who changes our lives, will change, not only influence you, but influence your neighbors. And I'm going to tell you how Lord has used Zacchaeus later. This is not here in the Bible, but the historians record that. Yeah, church historians. So what happened? There is an inward change in his life. He immediately remembered from the Old Testament the restitution that you would see in Numbers chapter 5. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 5. Verse 6, I think. So, Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. "Speak to the children of Israel. When a man or a woman commit any sin that men commits in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged." And Zacchaeus remembered that. And therefore, what happened? Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, I will give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." I'll come to that. Okay, what happens here? Zacchaeus first stood up. He took the position. Yeah? Everybody was eating, and probably Jesus was sharing something. And now it didn't happen all. Now he came down. He went to the house. And today the day. Now today now the day salvation has come to. No. There may be many dialogues gone between the dinner or whatever. No, in Jesus' meeting. And after that, what happened? He realized his all sinful nature. Then he stood up and said, "Lord, you are my Lord today. And I am nothing. I am a sinful person. Today I am going to change. Today I will humble myself." And said, "Half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have acutely taken money from someone, I will restore fourfold." Yeah? And if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. "If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughter it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep. And this is where, no, he got this number. But here he went beyond that. He said, not 20%, not 25%. He said, "I will give them half of my, not only the half of my position," but he said fourfold, that is 400 times more than what he is supposed to give. He went to the max. And I'm sure that, no, he doesn't mean that he had so, though he was a rich man, but half of his position, he doesn't mean he had so much of capital money, but he probably might have sold some property and paid the poor. Okay, he was ready to do that. And this tells you that this is what happens if you really, you know, transformed. If really Lord touched you, this is what will happen. Yeah, it's not only merely confessing your sin and changing your, you think that you change your life. No, if you have done anything wrong, if you robbed something from someone, you have to give back. I remember Lord spoke to me, now after I born again, Lord spoke to me, one of the things that lingered, that was hiding in my heart. Yeah? So after my conversion, I used to ride the bike without the license. For several years it happened. And God told me, "What you're doing is wrong." And so I could have just go to the license office, I could have got the license. But no, God told me to go to the police station and said what you have done. So I went to the police station, you believe it or not. Yeah. So the first day I went, the evening, so the inspector was not there. And so I next day I went. And I told him, "See, I know I'm doing wrong. I'm riding the motorbike for the past 6 years without my proper license. And what penalty I should pay." And Lord taught me that I have to do that restitution. And that day, that he nobody came with such a thing for him. That's what he said. "I don't know what to do. I don't know what penalty you should pay." But he said, "So what you would charge, okay, for if you catch a person without a license, what you would do?" And he said, "This is the money." Then Lord told me, "You pay that." And I paid double of that. And after that, you know, I got a great joy. No more guilt. I was a happy person. And probably that is what Zacchaeus would have not experienced. Yeah, this is the joy that we have in the Lord. It's not merely, you know, saying people, "Oh, I have born again. I sin no more." No. First you, even if you're born again, no, you go restitute what you have done. And you see there is a great joy. And that's so, it's not only you're correcting yourself with God, but also with man. You'll be the happy person. And I'm sure after this, the whole crowd would have loved him. Isn't it? Don't you think? Yeah? He would have gone to each house. He remembers. He said, "If I have got from anyone as accusation, I would go and pay to them fourfold." I'm sure he would have met each and every poor person from whom he would have got money. Yeah? And God spoke to him. And that is what is it has to be done in our life. If that doesn't happen, and you know that that's not the true confession that you made to God. Yes? And what did Jesus say? Now only Jesus says. Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Not tomorrow, not a year after. Or God did not say, hey, you go pay to all those guys and then you come, I'll give you salvation. No. If you made that commitment in your heart, God is ready to do that. You don't need to have 10 days for this. That day, when the God speaks, you determine in your heart, yes, I will do that. Okay? And God is ready to forgive you. And he said, salvation has come. Today, salvation has come to this house. I think this salvation, that means it's a God himself for me. If you read, I think it's Matthew or Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, where he says, when the Simeon lifted up the boy, and Jesus went to the temple, Simeon lifted up the boy and said, today I have seen salvation. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes into our heart. Yeah, he is our salvation. And so, now, then, Lord says, because he is also a son of Abraham. That's another piece that we know, should know, the piece of truth that we should know. What do you mean, the son of Abraham? Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly Jew, nor is circumcision that which is outward in flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not for man but from God. Okay? Here it says that Jew is not something outwardly, but something inwardly. It's totally changed from inward to outward. Yeah? And then, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6. 6 and 7. Just as Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Okay? The Abraham was, we know, is a father of faith. He had such a faith. Yeah? And so now, this, according to this verse, we see that if we have such a faith, no? That like Abraham, okay? And that God can change you, and now we know that you become the sons of Abraham. Yeah? According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. And also one more verse is there. Okay. Yeah. And more clearly in verse 25, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Yeah? If we know that you have the faith like Abraham, and if you have Christ in you, then you are the seed of Abraham, then you are the heir of the promise. And this is where, no, the word comes from, that he is also a son of Abraham. Now we see Zacchaeus as a totally transformed person. Yeah? And he is not just no outward changes, but he is an inward Jew, and a circumcision in the heart, and the commitment that he made. Now, coming back to the first verse, so we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, that he passed through Jericho, Jericho. Do you know what is mean by Jericho? Anyone? Jericho. Jericho means fragrance. A place of fragrance. Yeah? So, I think your brand may be there. I don't know. Yeah? But my brand is here. Joy. Yeah? So this is a fragrance. That's a real meaning. I could see there is God taught me something here. Our life should be like Jericho. Yeah? But before that, let me go get into how these perfumes are acquired. Okay? How these perfumes are made. This is a beautiful picture from plants. Yeah? And that's the picture taken through electron microscope. Yeah? All of them. And that is from the petal or the flower of lavender. Yeah? These two pictures are from lavender. And that's from primrose. And that's again lavender. And these are the leaves. And what you see as a globular one, that's the gland. We call it as gland, which holds the perfume, which holds the essential oil, the aromatic oil. Yeah? And once you rupture them, that's when you get the smell. Yeah. And so when you see an aromatic herb, and you can make sure, you can be definite that when you take it through the microscope, it will have structures like this with the glands, and each of these glands will have a lot of oil. Yeah? And this is the leaf, citrus leaf. If you hold any citrus means lemon or orange, you hold it against the leaf and you would see white dots like that. And those are not out of disease, but those are the glands where you would see citrus oil is there. And so man found this and they wanted to extract it. Then now what happened? They collect everything and crush them, break them, heat them, boil them and take the oil out. Okay? And that is the oil that been maybe diluted and sold as a fragrance. Now what do we learn this? God wanted our lives to be like the Jericho. When we read the verse, when Jesus passed through Jericho, and when Jesus passed, I feel that when Jesus passed through your life, your life will be like fragrance. And that's what we see in the life of Zacchaeus. When Jesus passed through, what happened? He's changed. He's totally transformed. And his life was different. And we could see that is the life that Lord wants us. Okay? And I'm going to, before I close, I want to tell you a small story that happened in India. You see here five people. Graham Stain, Gladys Stain, Esther, Philip, and Timothy. These are a missionary from Australia. They came to India and they went to the poorest state, which is Orissa. And they were serving among the poor and serving among the lepers. And they came to India, I think, in 1965. For more than 40 years, they were serving there. And one night, what happened? Father and two sons were sleeping in the station wagon. And the sister and the daughter, they were in a small hut taking rest that night. They went to a small village there, serving among the poor and as well as the leper, and they wanted to take little rest there. So these people didn't have place, and therefore they were sleeping in the station wagon. Do you know what happened early in the morning? This happened in January 2099. I think next week. People will be celebrating their life. Yeah. So what happened? The Hindu fanatics, they came, poured the petrol or the gasoline all over, and then lit them up. And they were all three of them, the Graham Stain, Philip and Timothy, died on that night. They sacrificed their life. And I'm sure last week when I saw the pictures that Jonathan showed, the roads and all, everything. This is the kind of situation that you would see in India too. It's very poor. I was so surprised. I was glad that Lord now sent you to such places. And without that, today, now we could not receive the salvation. We could not hear the good news. And these people not only came there to serve, but they gave their life. Because they saw the life of Jesus, the life of their master. And they wanted to give their life, wanted to be crushed. Like how you saw, become a Jericho, become a fragment. And today, you know, though they were gone, the three of them, and after the death, there were many churches sprung up in that place. And this is not man's doing. They were the men, there was no ministry, there was missionary. There is nobody who could go there now because they were afraid or people will kill them. But God did work in a different way. The people themselves, they were converted immediately. Everybody started accepting Christ, and many churches came up. See, the word of God says, until a grain falls on the ground and die, it will never give growth. But God's word is true. God's word is true, my dear brothers, my dear sister. Only thing is, we are reluctant. Many times we are very quiet. And when I saw, I know now when we had a kind of remembrance one that we went around the streets preaching the gospel on that day when they died. So this will happen next week. So please pray for them. You know, the India is again it's under Hindu fanatics. The leaders are the political situation is like that. All the leaders they support Hinduism. Yeah. And many churches are being gutted, and many are being the Christian are being beaten up, and so not only in India, it's happening everywhere now. It's happening everywhere, especially in Muslim countries. You would see many people are being beheaded. I've even seen pictures or movies where the Christians are being beheaded. In batches. It's so scary. But I think now God is there. God is faithful. And God will change those people's mind too. Yeah. He's faithful. So 2 Timothy 2:3 says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then Acts 26:23, how that Christ must suffer and how that he is first by the resurrection of the dead should proclaim light both to Jews and people to the Gentiles. And then 2 Timothy 1:2 it says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. What a beautiful, what a hope, what a joy. What a joy. Yeah? Today, no, we are so much ashamed to share our gospel to our friends, in our colleges, in our workplaces. But God says, because we know that they may despise us, or now we will be put to shame. But we need not be ashamed. We need not be ashamed. We can say boldly that Christ has come to die for you. He has come to give life. He has come to save you. He has come to seek you. And what a glory, what a wonderful Savior we have. Yeah? May His name be glorified as we now, during worship time we see that our God is a wonderful God. Yeah. Our God is a mighty God. Yeah. And He is the one who sought us and saved us. You don't need to do anything. But one thing He says, if you diligently seek Him, He's right there. He's not far off. He's near. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord when He is near. Yeah. He is near. And therefore He may bring joy to you. Yeah. And so lastly, this is out of our talk, okay? So here we read about Clement of Alexandria. He is the father of the early churches, yeah? And so he tells us that Zacchaeus become a very important Christian leader, and he went into Caesarea and become an elder of a particular church there. And that's, you read it in history. So you see that Zacchaeus not only, it's not one day story that you read. He continued to be a Christian and was a testimony. He raised a testimony in a particular place called Caesarea. May the Lord bless His word. Thank you. Shall we bow down our heads to prayer? O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord of all grace, mercy and peace, Thou art the God who sought us and saved us, O Father. We are unworthy, and Lord, we know we falter and fail. We never seek You, we've gone astray. But Word of God says, for the Son of Man came to save and to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank You, Father, this wonderful story that You brought before us, revealing Thy great truth that You are before us, O Father, You seek us. And Lord, we commit each and everyone into Thy loving hands. If there is anyone, Lord, who diligently seek You, and we know that, Lord, You will certainly, Lord, save them. Be with us, give us a blessed evening, and Lord, bless this family. We pray especially for the responsible brothers, Lord, Brother Jonathan and Arnold. Lord, as they shepherd us, Lord, we pray that You will strengthen us through their ministry and able to stand as a witness in this place, O Father, around us, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and bring the lost one into Thy fold. In Jesus' name we pray.